gentlemen of England that live at home at ease, ah, little do you think upon the dangers of the seas. In Scrappy, our teams have just a single day to build amazing machines, all from these heaps of junk. After a fantastic yellow team victory on the power pullers last week, the score stands at 1-1 for the series. So there's everything to play for. So let's meet our regular teams. First up for the yellow team is their captain, Major Dick Strawbridge. And his foot soldiers, Callie Munro and Dave Price. And this week, the yellow team's special guest is Russell Mitchell, known as Mitch.
I'm Mitch. I'm a warrant officer in the Royal Engineers, and I can hold my breath for about 2 minutes.
And doing battle against them is the orange team, led by Captain Anne Saunders. And her crewmates, Bowser Munson and Shen Chu. And the special guest for the oranges this week is Harvey Porritt.
I'm Harvey. I'm a court bailiff, but I spend my free time in water.
Ah, my tinheads, what a wonderful challenge we have for you this week. Very, very simple, that's the thing. All you have to do for this week's challenge is inside this chest, there are some bars of gold. All you have to do, take the bolts off, undo the rope, undo the padlock, take the gold out. That's as simple as it is. But here's the fun part. This chest will be 20 feet underwater. Now, what you have to do, one of you has to dive down and undo it and release the gold and float it back to the surface. The rest of you, your job basically is very simple, is to keep that person alive while they do it. Now, you have until the sun falls from the sky in the great scrap heap tradition, which is just a little under 10 hours, so I suggest you get swimming.
Right.
I couldn't tell them about the conger eels. I mean, the mouth, Hang!
Okay, what do you do?
I'm a warrant officer in the Royal Engineers, and my job, I work at the training wing of the Defence Diving School.
Right, so you know all about diving?
Yeah, I'm all right on the diving side.
I'm a member of the Historic Diving Society, and we do rallies and renovate what? Equipment and
so
dive.
Some kind of pump to give you...
We need a pump.
We need to pump air.
Right. Does he carry it with him, or do we have to get it from the top down?
No. I don't think we've got enough time to have a self-contained. You're still going to have to feed the air... like a surface demand him.
Obviously, we can't hold our breath that long.
No, you can't hold your breath.
Why can't we just get a tube down to the diver, yeah, and just have a tube to the top and just breathe?
Well, we could do that.
Yeah.
But the diver's going to be at 2 bar pressure. He will need air, right, at 30 pounds per square inch. Now, what are you going to do with this hose? Put his thumb over the end of it and just sip it? You'd have some way of regulating it, because you can't just fill the diver's lungs willy-nilly.
To open the treasure chest and free the gold will take about 5 minutes, longer than even Mitch can hold his breath. So the challenge is all about how to get enough air to him. If they were to take some air in a sealed bag from the surface down to 20 feet, the bag would only contain half as much air when they got there. The volume goes down as the pressure goes up. So they need much more air than they would at the surface. And because the pressure goes up, it's also harder to breathe, because the water's pushing against the diver's lungs. There's no way he'd be able to suck in air through a tube to the surface at that pressure. So the teams need to find a way of surrounding the diver in a constantly replenished supply of fresh air, which he can breathe in and out at will.
Do you actually get involved with things that can go under the water with somebody in it staying alive?
A diving bell or something.
Yeah, a diving bell's a good idea, but the problem I find we're going to have is how you're getting the air to the diver.
Yeah, can't we just sort of get some sort of container or something like that and just have a pipe out of that? So you've got your own air tank?
You mean build a scuba, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
Oh, is that what scuba means?
The average cylinder, a cylinder of so high and a 7-inch diameter, would hold 80 litres of free air under pressure at 200 bar. How are you going to put the air in there at 200 bar? If you just use the free air in the cylinder, 2 breaths, it's out.
Yeah, that's true.
You've got to compress it, haven't you? You'd have to compress it.
Right, there's a person.
Yeah.
And we've got arms here.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much of him do we need to give air to? Do we, you know...
That's enough.
That's enough. So we're talking about this level, so he's got all the freedom of his arms.
Yes.
What we do is have an open type.
Right, like the old-fashioned diving helmet.
A mini diving bell.
Sits on the shoulder. Yeah, a mini diving bell. Yeah. So the diver is always in, constant. Right.
But he can't, like, tilt his head.
He won't be able to tilt his head too
He'll
far.
He'll have to stay there.
There's going to be something there to hold your hands onto to actually, you know,
it's like the feet.
The ultimate Zimmer frame.
Yeah, that's what you have to be.
So the orange team are looking at a diving helmet, but the yellow team seem keener on the more unwieldy diving bell. Now it's the small matter of the diver's air supply they need to concentrate on.
Right. Can I just confirm then, all right, the pump, what are we looking at on the pump? What sort of thing are these chaps? These chaps are going to go out and look for it. What are we talking about?
Okay, well, you could have some sort of bellows system.
Yeah.
So you can make, you know, just the normal bellows system, try that.
What about just a foot pump or something like that?
It's not going to put enough air down.
It's
not enough volume,
is there any motorised system? Is there a motorised answer to this?
You're getting technical then.
The bell, the winch, the hose, the valve and the pump. Strength, this the valve and the pump seems to be the hardest bit.
Yes, without a doubt.
Go, Kelly, go.
Well, so much for all the talk. It's time to get out and nab the best bits before the other lot. The race is on to find the longest hose, some valves, and something for the poor victims to put their heads in.
Dave, this is Dick. We're going to need at least 35 feet of tubing.
35 feet, yeah, we've easily got
the
that.
Scavengers are in radio contact with the captains and experts who stay at the base adapting their designs to what's coming in.
Yeah, Roger, bring it along and we can see how we fit it in, because obviously we'll have to make the structure, we'll have to sort it from there. So anything that you get you find useful, stick it in, mate.
Oh, brilliant.
I found this.
I don't know what it is, but it's coming useful.
Going underwater. I mean, why would anyone want to do that? History of going underwater.
Well, the Assyrians were the first divers. Nearly 3,000 years ago, they were diving, breathing air stored in inflated animal skins. Alexander the Great was one of the first to descend to the deep in a diving bell, a machine refined centuries later by Edmund Halley, who came up with the first refillable bell. In the 19th century, the first workable helmets came on the scene, supplied with air by pumps at the surface. By early this century, the race was on to come up with a self-contained diving system, the reason being that sailors needed a safe way to bail out of submarines which were still in their formative years and very liable. An Austrian named Haas and a Frenchman called Le Prieur independently pioneered the first scuba system, although it's Jacques Cousteau rather than either of them who took the credit. The latest diving gear is called a Newt suit, a specially pressurized suit that allows divers to descend to more than 1,000 feet without suffering any adverse pressure effects. Back out on the scrap heap, it's getting pretty intense looking for parts, and the team seem prepared to try any tactics to get what they want.
Well, you ain't pinching that one, no way. Back off, brother. This is mine. Don't do it or I'll start to sing. Love you, God loves you. Sure.
Such a highly prized thing must be rushed back to base for safety. But will Captain Dick be impressed with Callie's spoils of war?
Pump-like looking thing.
Okay. Yes, I like the look of this already.
I've
fallen in love with this piece of... Did you find this?
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't so hard and sweaty, I'd give you a soppy kiss.
It's because I went on and I said, come here, Bowser, and I just beat him up and he was down on the ground and it just was crazy.
Dick hasn't actually got a clue what it is, but he's spotted that it's covered in valves, so he's delighted.
What's that?
That's a valve, an end for one of the pipes.
Ah, right.
Yeah, that's a fitting. Shane?
Yeah?
We're still looking for some form of one-way valve, and we want a couple of them.
There's a weight on the floor here, by the way, if you want to grab that.
Shane, some bigger type of volume, something for a helmet.
How about a drum?
Yes, a drum.
Yeah?
See, look.
Dick's been spying what's out there and has his eye on something they could use for their pump.
The fire extinguisher type metal, have they got any uses?
Yeah, well, if you could cut lids off, you could look there. You could try and make a pump, you know, where you're pumping in and out, have it in, a pivot in the centre, and what we can do is try have a pump from that one. So when you get them in...
It's quite important that Mitch is happy with their air supply, as tomorrow it's he and Harvey, the experienced divers, who'll be going down amongst the conger eels to get the gold. Although we normally like our regulars to test their deadly contraptions, this week it's a bit too dangerous even for us. This sort of thing's only for real professionals. Looking at what they're going to be going down in, I think Dick might be quite relieved.
Dick, don't damage me bell throwing it around like that.
Don't worry about it. There's holes in it. Dave will weld them shut.
OK.
Harvey's also got his eye on something for his head to go in. I wonder if this will be the first time he's looked at a washing machine from the inside out.
I'm quite impressed with this.
Oh, so you could use it for your
miles. I'm quite impressed with this.
We could actually make one up then.
Well, you see,
we could weld something on the end, couldn't we?
There's no reason why that can't be truncated. The diver come through an opening here and the back being shut off.
Yeah. Do you think that'll clean up, though? I suppose we could always get another one if we can't find it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No problem.
It's not too bad at all.
No problem. Excellent.
And the Orange team have also decided on their pumping system. Some simple bellows.
Then a bellows is quite easy. I mean, literally, what it says, two giant bits of ply hinged together with a skirt, and you're into that with your hovercraft, so a nice skirt in between.
Yep. And that's
an inlet and then again the one-way valve, so that as you release the bellow, it sucks air in, ambient pressure into the bellows. Yeah, mm-hmm. A valve on the way out, compress the bellows, pressurised air down the pipe. Mm-hmm.
Bellows aren't sophisticated machines. They work mainly thanks to the simple but clever design of a one-way valve. Valves all do the same basic thing. They let air, or water in a pipe, or the blood in your blood vessels or whatever, go through one way but be stopped from coming back. The way they do it varies. It might be a simple flap, or a spring or ball bearing, and they're usually activated by the pressure of what's passing through, or just by gravity. So as the bellows are opened, air is sucked in via one of these clever valves, and the chamber fills with air. As pressure's applied, the chamber is squashed down, and air forced out through the nozzle. Because the air is being pushed through a narrow orifice, it's forced out under higher pressure. So bellows aren't exactly high-tech, but if they're well-designed, they should be capable of keeping Harvey nice and alive. Over the wall, Dick's been working out how to adapt the fire extinguishers they found into cylinders to make a bespoke lever pump for the yellow team.
Wow. I had to do some Sams. Wow. We had an experiment with both Kelly and Dave to see where we liked pumping.
Right.
And discovered it was actually 46 inches was our mean, plus or minus 10 inches.
Right.
We've got plus or minus 6 inches in our plunger.
Right.
And therefore, we've got to, if you like, we've got to separate our distances.
Where you hold the handle.
So we are happy to go up and down 10 inches,
right.
But our plunger's only got to go up six. And down 6 inches.
And you've got
inches.
That extra leverage.
And our frame there says that, well, that's the distance we're going to put apart our two plungers anyway.
Right.
So it comes together.
The yellow team's lever pump is a more sophisticated and potentially more reliable way of supplying air to Mitch than the bellows. It'll take two people to operate. As the first person pushes the piston down, air is forced into the hose through a one-way valve in the bottom of the cylinder. The air can't go out the other side of the pump because another valve over there stops it getting through. Once all the air's been pushed out one side, the person on the other end of the pump pushes down. More air's shunted out that side, and so it goes on. Inside the cylinders, a rubber seal around the pistons acts like another gigantic valve. It's stiff enough to keep the air in and force it down on the downstroke, but flexible enough to allow new air in on the upstroke. The machine's basically like a glorified double-barreled bicycle pump. So the teams have plenty to think about. Time to check that they're on the right lines with a trusty expert. This week, I dragged up salty old sea dog John Bevan. He's in the Guinness Book of Records for the first recorded human exposure to a depth of 1,500 feet. So if you want to talk diving, he's your man.
How are you? Hello, Bob. I'm well.
Nice to see you.
Yeah. Nice day.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Lovely day for building sub-aqua equipment. I always think you need a bit of sun for that.
Yeah, so yeah, how are they getting on?
Well, I think this is very exciting. They've got a very exciting design, the yellow team here. Dick's been working on that.
Well, they're serious there. Yeah. They've got two problems, really. First one is drowning.
Yeah.
Once they get over that one, the next problem is overcoming the pressure.
Yeah.
And so that's where the air delivery systems will find their feet or fail. They're going to be using the equivalent of a lever pump.
Yes,
where they have a lever
up and down, and then each time
pistons
each
and cylinders. It's much more technically challenging. It's going to be much more difficult to make that work because of the precision required to produce the pistons that will make seals in the cylinders.
Yes.
But they'll be able to deliver much more air at higher pressure.
High pressure, yeah.
That's the high tech approach.
Yes. And I think the Orange team are going for a bellows, a sort of conventional bellows as far
low
as
low tech. but very simple, much easier to do. The bellows is such a fragile system. Yes. I mean, if that blows, for example, if it bursts, then you've lost your air supply.
Yes.
And also, it's very difficult to get a lot of pressure. Now, with every 2 feet you go down underwater, you add 1 pound per square inch. So by the time you're down 20 feet, the pressure there of the water is 10 pounds per square inch.
Right.
So your bellows or your pump has got to produce in excess of 10 pounds per square inch, plus get enough volume of air through there for the man to be able to survive.
Right.
So the pressure is going to be the most technical challenge of this system.
Yeah.
The way they've gone for it, with it's interesting that one's chosen a bell and the other a helmet. The helmet's going to have the advantage it's more mobile. They can move around much more easily. But against that, the disadvantage of that is if anything was wrong with the air supply.
He's got very short time in the helmet.
He's only got one or two breaths in there, and he's got to make an emergency ascent. And from 20 feet, the drop in pressure when you come to the surface is sufficient to burst your line.
Wow, so you've got to be blowing air. So you need to be an experienced diver to, to do it at all.
It's potentially dangerous.
Right.
You're going to want to have how much of your body in there?
Well, hopefully, when I first go down, my head will be about here.
Right.
So then, on the inside here, we're gonna weld handles, make sure I can move it around. I'll weld it on the frame.
This is going to be welded on the frame.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
So
it'll be welded on the frame, so you are in the Zimmer frame.
Okay,
all right.
Happy with that.
So when we cut it off to here, you can sort of move up and down. Where would you like to have your window? What sort of level? Because we don't have
down,
high.
Around
it's
here.
Be down as low as you can get it, really.
So I can, sort of bend down there and get it over and done with.
Over the wall, more fittings. Bowser's measuring Harvey up for his helmet.
That'll do.
It's still miles of room.
Yeah, you want to be able to get in it and...
Yeah, but once it's over there, all we're talking about is something that's just going to drop over, because it's got to sit there then, isn't it?
Yeah, but I need a nice wide skirt on it to come down my chest.
Well, the skirt can be bolted on anywhere. That would work.
Not quite.
Yeah, that will. I guarantee you that'll be big enough.
Well, Mitch is happy as pie in his ocean-going Zimmer frame, and Harvey's very attached to his washing machine helmet.
About whether we can do any calcs, just to quickly check whether we've got enough area.
Shen's getting the jitters about the size of the orange team's bellows, and there's some pretty dodgy maths going on.
Well, I reckon you've got over a cubic foot of air in there.
We'll have 25 high. Maybe 30 high by 500.
It's better not half a cubic metre then, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry. You've got 5 by 5 is 250. So 50 by 500 by 500 is 25,000 times by... we'll have over...
I effectively need down there about 1.5 cubic feet a minute.
1.5 cubic feet a minute.
A minute.
Right.
And I reckon you'll deliver that every time you pump.
Every time we do one pump, we should be able to deliver that.
So there's going to be a lot...
Well, that's all sorted then. Over the wall, Dick's doing a better job of reassuring Mitch that the yellow team's pump will keep him in the amount of air to which he's become accustomed.
This is doing. At the end of this, we're going to attach a one-way valve.
Yeah, got the one-way valve on it.
There, and it's going to be a short length of pipe between this and here.
Yep.
That therefore allows us to connect that.
Okay.
Do the same coming from the other side with another one-way valve.
We
come into that Y connection, and from there it goes down to you.
Okay.
Which means that we have got space either side to build the frame up, which allows us to limit the up and down movement.
Okay.
And it also allows us to limit the wobble. Because Dave will actually make a very, very tight frame for the vertical movement, which means you've got no chance of getting any twist at the end of your plunger.
Excellent. As long as I've got lots of air, that's my main.
It's going to start sending a lot more as it gets closer.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
While they're getting on building their Heath Robinson contraptions, I turn to John for more grisly diving talk.
But I know you can get the bends if you come up too quick, lad, and all that stuff. So, I mean, what are the bends? It's to do with your blood, the air in your... No, the oxygen in your blood.
Well, it's to do with what they call the inert gas in your blood. We're breathing 21% oxygen, 79% nitrogen at the moment. That's what air is made out of. So it's the nitrogen that causes the bends. What happens is when you go down, you're breathing air at an increased pressure.
Yeah.
And because it's at an increased pressure inside your body and in your lungs, more of it is dissolving into your body, into your blood and all the tissues of your body.
Yeah.
So when you come up again, all that dissolved gas comes out again. And if you come up slowly, then it comes out the way it went in, through the lungs. But if you come up too quickly, you actually get bubbles forming in your blood and tissues, just like when you open a bottle of lemonade.
Yeah.
Bubbles appear inside the lemonade.
Yeah.
The same thing is happening inside your body. And you can actually listen to them with an ultrasonic receiver. You can put it against your veins. You can actually hear the bubbles going blum, 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 actually through your body.
Yeah. And is it possible to have that happen to you and not die? I mean,
absolutely.
It's just very bad for you,
is it? In most scuba divers, when they come up, actually have bubbles inside their body.
Right.
But they're called silent bubbles. They're safe. They're not a problem.
Right.
But if it's a severe case, people can end up in a wheelchair or even die because there are bubbles inside their spinal cord or even inside their brain, which is, you know, very, very serious. And
luckily for Harvey and Mitch, the bends only kick in at about 30 feet, so they'll be laughing at 20. But Mitch works for the Royal Engineers, and they have to deal with much more gruesome diving problems. Not the bends, but the U-bends.
We do sewer search, and we have to use a full overpressure mask. They call it an agar, and it means no water can get in. Because obviously, when you're down in sewers, you do not want
anything.
So
you're really swimming in, like, raw sewage?
Without a doubt, yes. And you're fully masked up and all the gloves, because obviously you cannot let anything get in.
You don't want it under your nails, really, do you?
No, yeah. But it's not that bad. It's just, you know...
It's just lumpy water.
That's it, yeah. And the worst times to do it, you never do it at 9 o'clock, because everyone goes to work and does the business. And then you never do it again at 1500, because they all do it before they go home as well.
There's a rush then. That's the rush hour in the sewers.
Yes, it is. Yeah, because obviously they use a firm's time for everything, don't they? So that's what we're looking at.
Harvey goes diving nearly every weekend, but there's one thing that puzzles me. I've noticed that Harvey's a particularly keen talker. So how on earth does he get by underwater?
You have to use sign language then when you do it. You can't talk, can you?
Yes. Some very great sign.
What do you do?
Are you okay?
Right.
Right. You, me, up.
Right.
You, stay. You, me, down.
Right.
Oh, you've got a lovely pair of coconuts.
No. Think about it.
C chest.
Tit.
C chest.
I bottom. I left it behind.
I left it behind.
that's a recognised diving signal.
If Harvey seems happy, it must be because he hasn't seen the Orange Team's bellows recently.
You're in a bit of trouble here.
Possibly.
Are we going to be pumping enough air? That's one of the questions.
That's the
from what? From this.
Well, we're just worried it's going to be a bit slow. Yeah. We can stop it bulging and stiffen it up. But we don't want to spend time doing that if it's completely...
If it's completely naff, yeah.
Yeah. Is it worth putting the hinge on this end anyway?
4 hours remaining.
The Orange Team are at sea. Something's seriously wrong with those bellows. But none of them, Harvey included, seems to have a clue what to do about it. So, in true Orange Team fashion, they're ignoring it and getting on with the easy bits.
That's the helmet done.
That's our
brilliant
handle. I'll use it to.
This is a Yellow Team classic, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Welding steel, good.
Lots of steel, metal good. Wood bad, metal good.
It is very subtle, isn't it?
It is. Ever the no nonsense approach, once again.
Right, okay. Before we go any further, what we're going to have to do, we've got the bits together to take this and we can make it so we've got no wobble. We've got to get our pistons in and it's very important. But
Do we need to test that?
Well,
who do you think we should test?
Okay, who do you reckon we should actually get to test the actual barrel?
Hands up for Cali.
Charlie. Right. I wanted to. I want to.
Okay.
So the boys have voted Callie to get changed into a wetsuit and test their diving bell in the tank. While she's getting ready, I thought I'd catch up with John again.
John, have you seen the pump?
Yes, yes, I was a bit confused as to what was going where initially, but this frame here now is obviously going to be the pump itself, which is a good heavy-duty frame, which is what they need, because the amount of physical effort it's going to take to compress air in these cylinders is going to be enormous. Mm. But they've done their arithmetic quite well, and I think they've got it right. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be very, very hard work.
So it will actually be physically hard work?
Yes, just physically, because they've got a large cross-section area on their piston here.
But I mean, you think that they're going ahead pretty well then?
This team, the yellow team, are doing extremely well, I think.
So the orange team, you're a little bit worried about now because you're quite pleased with what they were doing before. But
I'm a bit worried about the area of the bellows, and in fact, I don't believe this bellows will be able to work at all.
Oh, you think it's not going to function at all?
No, they won't be.
The orange team.
They won't be able to get to 20 feet with that. Mm. It won't be able to develop enough.
So what is it? What you mean? They just physically won't be able to squash the air in. Is that going to be?
That's right.
What is their solution? I mean, have they made their bellows too big? Then that's the actual problem.
The sort of surface area you're talking about would be about this much, and they've got this much.
Yes, I see.
And who's going to have to tell him? It's down to Muggins.
So it's not that the orange team's bellows are too small, as you might think, or even just that they're flimsy and pathetic. What John's saying is that they're actually too big to use. Not quite what you'd expect. The point is, it takes a huge effort to pump air under pressure. Just think of the effort of pumping even a small bicycle pump. And their bellows contain about 1,000 times as much air as that. Their muscles just aren't strong enough. They'd be better off with much smaller bellows. They'll have to pump more frequently to get enough air through, but they'll actually be able to do it because they're only trying to push down a small volume of air with each pump. So, bizarre as it seems, Harvey might be onto something with those tiny household bellows they'd previously written off. But I think I better make sure they're on track.
You know what? Sometimes I get tense, Anne. You know that.
Yes.
I'm tense about your bellows.
Yes.
Because look,
I'm slightly tense about your bellows as well. Yes.
Shane, I'm tense about your bellows, mate, because I've seen you there with your staple gun, and it's all... Look, this is it's maths, which is my weakest subject. £10 per square inch at 20 feet. And you've got 300 square inches there, and if you do the maths, and clever people have done this and explained it to me, it's about £3,000. You're like lifting up a car, you know, with that lever, or the equivalent, aren't you, or squashing it down. That's why I'm worried, that you won't have enough oomph.
Bearing in mind we've only got 4 hours, there's no chance of doing a quick remedial repair on those small bellows with some rubber and seeing how much pressure we can get out of it.
Yeah.
That's not it.
The little bellows.
Yeah.
The little bellows.
That's
repair them up with some rubber and let's get some air flow. Yeah. Because by the time you've done a half hour remedial on those, we'll be ready to get the helmet
and
under some pressure. Then
we can
test it.
So Harvey thinks he can bring those Victorian bellows back from the dead. We'll see.
Can you?
Over the wall, Cal is all wet-suited up and ready to test the yellow team's bell.
I'm not wearing anything under here. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Callie's done. She's wet.
Right, you want to...
Mind your head.
You want to get under the barrel and stand up inside it.
Yep. Hold the hand on either side to hold the rubber in place. OK, if you see water coming in, can you actually mark in your mind's eye whether or not it's coming in, where you can see it coming in, all right? Right, lift it up and let some fresh air in. Fresh air.
Woo-hoo!
In fact, do you know what we could do? It's never mind dealing around with a pump. Let's see how long Callie lasts under there. And then you'll be all right tomorrow, Mitch.
It reminds me of Houdini's last trick.
Do you know what? If he's underwater, the water comes up quite a bit. Like his head's going to have to be really, like, down to move around.
Yeah, but what we're hoping is going to happen is we're going to push lots of air in there with our pump, which means the water gets pushed out the bottom, so it'll be in there fresh air.
We're looking at the air pressure being greater than the water pressure. That's what we're hoping.
Well,
that's what's got to happen anyhow, as I will be sucking the top of this tin.
The point of the yellow team's test was to find leaks in their bell, but they seem to have forgotten something. The pressure of the air trapped inside the bell is greater than the pressure of the water trying to get in. So while air can get out, water can't get in. So unfortunately, I think Callie got wet for nothing.
Bowser. We're rethinking our bellows.
Yeah. Good idea.
We're thinking of a large inlet.
Flap valve.
A flap like this to suck the air.
Get it as big as you can. 2 inches?
Yeah, we can do a big one, so that's not a problem.
What do you need behind that?
Alternatively, if you're back at the drawing board at this stage for alternatives, is there anything out there that even resembles some type of piston assembly pump that you can manually pump?
Yes. There's one over there.
Bowser's remembered a rather ancient compressor he spotted on the scrap heap. He assumed it was broken, but now they're so desperate, he figures it's worth taking Harvey out for another look.
Now, there's an old compressor pump in there.
3 hours remaining.
Yeah.
It's the sort of machine that would have been used for spray painting. It's pretty old, it's very rusty, but Harvey thinks it could be the answer to all their pumping problems.
It's ideal.
Yeah? Got a pump!
You got a pump?
Yeah.
Well, there's definitely optimism in the air for the orange team. Just as it's dawning on the yellow team that they seem to have made a few miscalculations on their pump.
We're not actually getting full stroke, are we?
No.
No, we're not.
We're getting a very limited stroke, actually.
You are. You're not going all the way. Where you were before, you're coming.
Hold on,
up
that's
now.
All the way down. Is on it? My side. Yeah, no. That's down.
Can't be.
It is. We haven't.
He's hardly got anything there.
Yeah. Is that a miscalculation in the length of these, then?
Yeah.
No one wants to go move that way about
an inch. It's not there. Hold on, let's just think for a minute. Let's just...
The orange team have had a look at the compressor, and it does seem to be a very lucky find. All they've had to do is attach their hose and tie on a handle so they can pump it by hand, because the motor's definitely gone. The compressor will work in the same way as in its real life, with air being pushed through a series of pistons to increase its pressure. But the question is whether Bowser's winding will produce enough air to keep Harvey going.
But, yes, would you like to...
Harvey's donned his wetsuit and he's ready to find out.
What is the... You know, suddenly we don't have to worry about a bellows and you've got this pump. What is the actual pump you found? What's it from?
It's from an old compressor. The engine's completely useless.
Right.
But
the cylinder that pumps is all right.
You can turn the crank by hand,
right?
Because it's got a big pulley wheel on it.
So why didn't you go for that compressor first time round? Did you see it when you were first out searching, or did it?
Yeah, but I didn't think it was worth bothering with,
right?
Because they were quite convinced that the bellows was the best idea.
But having proved it was.
It seems to be. It's in the great scrap heap tradition, you know, to change tack at the 11th hour.
If all else fails, the helmet certainly looks good, though sadly the washing machine window's out, in favour of some more visibility-permitting perspex.
OK. I mean, this is a bit temporary at the moment. I've just got to tie it on.
That is brilliant. I think it
looks like that robot, doesn't it?
It looks like Bertie Bassett.
That's Bertie Bassett. Harvey, where's your spanner?
Go on, get pumping.
If he goes blue, you'll know I've stopped turning.
Just keep pumping, okay? Poor Bowser.
Poor Bowser.
That's it. It's to make sure that he can.
He looks very relaxed down there. I mean, it's either he's already gone or he's quite happy.
He could have passed out by now, yeah. Hold on, did I tell him to come up? I think I told him to come up, Bob, but okay. Never mind. Hey, it's good.
No problem, it's plenty. I think the only problem with it really
is
the helmet wants to rise off your shoulders, so
we've got to strap
that down a bit, but otherwise that's fine.
We've got leaks to repair here.
We've got about 3 leaks.
So
here.
What we'd like to do is silicon bead along there before it dries.
We do all well.
And you're pumping more than enough.
Really?
More than enough.
So the compressor could be the dream ticket for the orange team. Something the yellow team could do with, because they're still struggling with their pump. Somebody seems to have been adding inches to Dick's carefully measured pistons.
Right, that's 16. That's as far down as I expected it to go.
Right, well, this is too long then.
What? No, hold on. That's as far down as that's supposed to go.
Yeah, but it's not coming up as far as it needs to, is it?
Right, which means that's too long. This is all at the bottom. We're happy this is at the bottom. Right? This one...
But then when this is at the bottom, that's too long.
Hold on. No, that's not. That's 14. That's 14 when it bellies out. All right, hold on. That's 14 when it bellies out.
But they both need to be shorter.
You'd pull them up higher, wouldn't you?
Yeah, both need to be shorter. So let's chop a bit out.
Collar up time. Here come those sparks.
Dave's usual precision engineering coming to the fore to cut their piston levers down to size.
On your marks, get set, go!
The compressor is on trial once more. The orange team have worked out that to provide enough air to Harvey at 20 feet, the compressor should be able to fill this water container with air in 45 seconds. This is the really big test for the compressor.
Spin that wheel.
30 seconds.
It's very, very close. Hold it down, Anne.
Yeah, I just want to see when it's...
40 seconds. Keep pumping, Jen!
Yeah!
45, you've come out!
Whoa,
you've done it.
Well,
you've done it. 45, you've done it.
If I have to pump it, if I have to pump at that speed, for anything more than 45 seconds, I'm dead.
What did that actually prove, then? Is that your estimate of the amount of air he needs?
We managed to fill 22 litres in 45 seconds.
But at surface pressure.
At surface pressure.
Yeah.
So we should be able to do 2 litres a minute at 20 foot.
Right.
Is the theory.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Harvey can't breathe theory, so let's hope they're right.
John, they're right up against it now. Both teams. Yeah. I mean, they're really pushing it, aren't they? We're very nearly there.
Yeah, the pace is picking up a bit.
Yes, isn't it? Yes, you can tell.
A bit of feverishness. Yeah.
The orange team's helmet. I mean, what a magnificent creation.
Yeah.
What a brilliant creation.
Yeah, I think Harvey's very pleased with that.
He's very pleased with that. Shem was working hard, though. He's winding. Are they going to be winding that fast tomorrow? They're going to have to be...
Well, yes. In actual fact, there'll be a bit of... It didn't look as though there was much resistance there now because they're just pumping here.
Speed, yeah.
But when they're pumping down 10 PSI, there'll be a bit of resistance there. And because they're working so hard, they'll have to take lots of shifts to keep up that rate of air. But it's certainly producing the flow they need, which is absolutely marvellous. I really wasn't expecting that to work so well.
What we're going to do?
Okay.
Right. This side. Right, have you seen them?
Yeah.
It's got great travel.
That really does look the business.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them produce pressure yet, but it's looking the business.
Yeah.
I think they're virtually there.
So at the 11th hour, the yellow team are finally testing their pump. If it doesn't work, Mitch is going to wish he was back in the sewers.
Get any bubbles, Dave?
Not as such.
We're sucking. We're a bit of a back, haven't we?
I think it's sucking. I think it's sucking air out, which is not the idea. I think that's the problem.
It's filling the bell with water.
Yeah, I think it's filling the bell with water.
We seem to be sucking a bit there, Mitch. Which means we're not actually sealing our...
You're not sealing it, yeah.
You know our one-way valves?
Yeah.
We're going one way.
They couldn't have got their valves round the wrong way, surely. I mean, they wouldn't have thought so.
It's been done before, I'm afraid.
Let's take it apart here.
These are both in the right way round, are they?
Yeah, the arrows are going the right way. Can I just say, I saw Mitch double-checking.
Yeah.
If one of the valves the wrong way round, the pump will suck air in on the upstroke rather than push it out on the downstroke. Not quite the sort of support Mitch had in mind down there. So they need to get the valves out and check to see if they're broken, if they're the wrong way round, or if something else altogether is causing the problem. Mitch has gone terribly quiet.
That return valve's not closing.
That's not return, yeah. Get another one.
This one's not even thinking about it, is it?
No.
5 minutes remaining.
Cup of tea? Biscuits?
Dick's worked out which valve's playing up. Now all he has to do is figure out why.
Right. Now, this has got gravity. Watch. It's locked already. If we actually have this, so it's pointed down, yeah? If we have it pointed so it's the other way, so that... No, we have it like this. So we have to blow up. It shuts automatically, doesn't it?
Right.
Yep. So we point this up.
Dick's realised this valve does work, but they weren't using it properly. Because it's a gravity valve, they need to tether it vertically with the hose above it, so it will close automatically when the air's gone through. At least they hope that's what the problem is.
Done. Right.
Let's hopefully.
Go look at the end of this thing. I don't even want to watch. Just tell me there's bubbles coming out, all right? Oh, superb. Yes! 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 Yo, look at the splashing! Look at the splashing! Okay, like, right. Is there anything we've missed? We've got the bit in the top for the winch, which nearly wasn't there. We've connected things in.
We're done.
Done.
Yes. Well done, sir.
Well done, gang.
Right, there's nothing left, obviously,
well
isn't it?
Hey, well done.
Yeah.
Ah, there we go, teams. Yo! There we go. There's nothing more to do now. Tomorrow, we dive. Yeah!
So we have it, the fruits of their watery labours. The yellow team's diving bells, an old treacle drum and a few bits of scaffolding as legs. And they'll be pumping a couple of old fire extinguishers and hoping their heartily welded frame will hold it all together. For the orange team, Harvey will be sporting a helmet fashioned from a tube of industrial heat ducting, and their pumps, the old spray compressor, used pretty much as is. Don't know how it took them all day, really. So here we are, 20,000 leagues, well, 20 feet down. The conger eels have been fed, and the treasure chests are bulging with gold. Nearly time for Harvey and Mitch to test the strangest-looking diving gear these fish have ever seen.
OK, teams, quick run through the rules. When we're down there, both of you ready? I'll give you the signal, which is that. Yep. Don't want the eels getting my fingers. You undo the bolts, take off the plates, undo the rope, undo the padlocks with the key, open the chest, gold in the bag, inflate your floating bags, up goes the bag. First bag to the surface is the winner, all right? Everybody understands that? Yeah, guys, when you see the bag pop out the top, and if it's your bag, don't cheer and stop pumping, for goodness sake. Keep the pumping going. Those guys need your air very badly. All right, so everybody ready?
Yeah.
I'll see you down there.
Yeah.
Do you want to give a hand, keeping that chin?
The yellow team have drawn the short straw, so first in the water, it's Mitch.
Put a big one on you. Yeah.
The team have added a load of old dumbbell weights to the tray on the bell so that when Mitch gets to the bottom, he'll stay there. Now the bell's so heavy, it has to be winched into the water.
Yeah, pump away, guys.
From now on, he's totally at the mercy of his teammates pumping on the surface.
Water there, Cully.
And down he goes, en route to the deep. Loads of air, no problem.
Go on, Kelly, you can do it, girl. Keep going, Dick.
The weight looks good, cumbersome, but he can just move. While Mitch gets into position, Harvey's getting helmeted up. It takes Bowser and Shen to lift it as the team have attached heavy lead weights to the front and back of the helmet. This will mean it will stay snugly on Harvey's shoulders and, of course, ensure that he can't get chicken and try to escape. But Harvey can't wait to get down there. Look at him go, like Linford Christie.
Right, he's in the water.
Hope he's remembered his tools. Go on, Bowser. Keep it up, mate. It's going to be tough going on the compressor.
Two.
Bowser, Anne and Shen are going to do 45-second shifts for however long it takes Harvey to do the business. The yellow team, on the other hand, are going to be changing shift whenever Dick says. The weights are okay, and more important, he seems to have some air in his hat. Both divers are about in position. Now they're just waiting for me.
Well, they all seem to be okay on the bottom. It looked very impressive. It's about time I went down there and joined them.
Harvey's nice friends from the Historic Diving Society have lent me one of their lovely old suits. It's 100 years old, but they've promised me it doesn't leak. And luckily, I've got my own proper air supply. Not a bunch of jokers on some fire extinguishers.
Well, this is it. No going back. Oh. Hey, this is fun. Boy, fish. Nearly stepped on you, mate.
The treasure chest, the divers, everything is in position. And hopefully they're still pumping up there. Mitch, are you ready? Mitch, yeah? Okay. Harvey, you ready? Okay, divers, go! Both teams racing off like, well, they're moving. They're both breathing like they've been doing it all their lives.
30 seconds.
They're both getting stuck into the first nut. There must be mayhem up there on the surface. Mitch has got the first nut off. So is Harvey. It's neck and neck.
Speed up, get the speed up.
Mitch is struggling with it. Nut. Use your spanner, yellow team.
Definitely should have had longer handles.
And they're going at it nut for nut. A bit more air for Harvey, please. Mitch is onto the rope, but he's forgotten to take off the metal plate. That could be a problem for him. Harvey's got both plates off. Oh, my foot's wet. I think I've sprung a leak. They must be on overtime up there on those pumps. Harvey's yomping through the rope, and now Mitch has got the rope off too. But still not the metal plate.
I can't see you, this is in the way.
Mitch has got his key out and he's onto the lock. Oh, he's got it off already. And now Harvey's onto the lock as well. And Mitch finally getting round to those metal plates. Everything off, but Mitch can't get into the chest. He's desperate to get his hands on that gold.
Pump, come on, pump!
I think Harvey's in. Yes, the orange team are into the chest. I can see that gold. Harvey's getting his bag ready. Keep pumping up there. What is Mitch doing? Harvey's got the first bar into the bag for the orange team. He's running ahead with it now. This is a yellow team crisis. Mitch! Mitch, what are you doing, man? Just 3 bars in all, remember? We're within inches of an orange win. Brute force it, and Mitch is in. But is he too late? Get out of the way, Mitch, I can't see. Well, now Harvey's struggling. Yes, Harvey's struggling now. He's wishing he had longer fingernails. Now Mitch has the first gold bar in the bag.
Three centimetres yellow.
Use your tools, orange team. Use your teeth. Second bar in the bag for Mitch. Could the yellow team take it after all? Come on, orange team. Don't give up. But Mitch has his third and final gold bar in the bag. And all he has to do now is inflate it. What's Harvey doing? He's shaking the gold out. Mitch is filling up the bag. I think it's all too late for Harvey. There goes, I do believe the yellow team have won.
No, no, no!
Yes! Keep going. Get
yes!
it!
Yes! Get yes! Me, Brown, yeah!
Go
on,
go.
Woo! You
know
go! Me, hey! Go for the money! Oh, yeah.
And there goes the orange team bag. Better late than never. Poor old Harvey. Victory snatched from underneath his nose.
No way, Bell, best. Well done.
Yeah, you done your best.
You had the box open first.
Well done, teams. Well done. Absolutely fantastic.
And an absolutely glorious victory for you, Yellows.
Yeah, well done. Well done.
I was ahead. And then those two bars had gone in flat down. You just couldn't get your fingers behind them. There was no room. And if I turned it upside down like I did at the end, I couldn't then lean forward for it in the helmet. So...
Next time.
Well done.
So it's 2-1 to the yellow team and everyone survived.